Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, jewelry, handbags, cufflinks, tie clips, they're all fashion accessories. You can choose to add them if you wish. Holiness, however, is not an accessory to the Christian life. Holiness is essential to, it's characteristic of, the Christian life. And why is this? Because the Christian life is lived in fellowship with the holy God, in whom there is no darkness at all. And this fellowship with God that we Christians enjoy, we claim to have fellowship with God when we profess Jesus Christ. This fellowship with God means that God has graciously and mercifully rescued us from the domain of darkness, from the realm of sin, and has transferred us, as Colossians 1 tells us, has transferred us into the kingdom of his Son. And so a walk in darkness, a walk in unholiness, would make the claim to fellowship with the light a lie. So holiness is not optional to any of us who confess Jesus Christ. We should understand that Jesus Christ suffered the death of the cross that he might purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That's what we read from Titus. Purify, that means cleanse of sin. That means redeemed from the power of sin. That means we are God's set apart people, set apart to good works. That's holiness. So God's call to holiness to his people echoes throughout the scriptures. Remember, we read this last Sunday, and when God had delivered his children of Israel, his people, his Old Testament church out of bondage in Egypt, brought to the Mount Sinai, he gave them all the laws that made them realize they were a separated unto God people, different from everybody else, in the sense of their calling to be a set apart people. He said, I am holy, you be holy. So that means, beloved, we Christians may not ever have a nonchalant, blasé attitude toward committing sin. We may not allow ourselves to think, oh well, sin is no big deal because after all, as a Christian, we just confess it to God and we're good to go. And if that's how any of us professing Christians think about our sinning, then we have too low a view of the offense of sin against our holy God. And we have too low a view then of God's holiness. And as well, for us Christians to have any sort of a lackadaisical attitude toward our sinning indicates that we're not taking seriously our calling to holiness and are evidencing a lack of dependence in God's power to work his will in us, to do what is pleasing unto him, to be thankful to him, to be obedient to him. And as well, if you have a blasé attitude towards sinning, you're also not mindful of grieving the Holy Spirit who dwells in us Christians. So the right gospel-renewed mind thinking, the gospel-renewed mind-renewed attitude that we are to have about sinning is given to us by Christ's Apostle John in our text. He says, I write these things, so what? For what purpose? You may not sin. You may not sin. Now, the better sense from the original Greek is that you might not be sinning. So, we're not to be sinning. So, any kind of attitude that says, oh, sin is no big deal, I don't have to be careful about it, I just live my life, doesn't matter, is just not allowed by the scriptures. And John's talking to us professing Christians. He's talking to Christians back in his day, end of the first century AD. He's talking to us in our day. It's just as applicable, it doesn't matter when you live. And when he talks to us, he calls us children, even little children. Now, Jesus called his disciples children as well. Now, John, as he's writing this, is an old man, right? The last of the living apostles, as he writes this. And we Christians are to him like his little children. We're his little spiritual children. And so when he calls us little children in this text, it's a term of endearment. In his loving tenderness for us, he wants us not to be sinning. He wants us to have the full joy of fellowship with God, as he's already said. And sinning is an obstacle to that joy. And sinning is offensive to God, who is light. And sinning is not compatible with light because it's of the darkness. And what is sinning really? What is sinning really? It's interesting that in the original languages, sinning means to miss the mark. To miss the mark, which the mark is God's holiness. The mark is God's righteousness. The mark is really defined by God's law. So to sin is to stray away from God, to follow a path other than is directed by his commandments. It's to swerve from the truth. It's to turn aside from the straight course charted by the word of truth, by the Bible, by the scriptures. Sinning is of lawlessness. It's of darkness. And we're set apart to live in the light. So John wants us to not be sinning. Actually, it's a very strong exhortation. You may not sin. He wants us to be living right before God and also right in relationship to our neighbor. That's walking in the light. So when John writes, you know, when he says in our text, I write these things so that you may not sin. Well, again, what are these things? They're the fact that God is light and we have fellowship with the light. And for this reason, he writes these things, that we may not be sinning. We may not sin. Now, there's a couple of issues that we have to come to grips with as Christians. When we hear this, we have to grasp what John is saying here with soberness. We have to grasp what he's saying with a gospel-renewed mind. That is, we have to think about what John is saying as the truth. And so we have to be willing to listen to what he says, and we have to amend our lives to conform to what he says. When he says, so you may not sin, we have to say, okay, I may not sin. That's how I should approach life as a Christian. I may not sin. That means I have to be careful. I have to be diligent. I have to be discerning. I have to have an attitude that says, I'm going to do everything I can and depends upon God's grace and strength in Christ to not sin, because that's what we're called to do. Do not sin. That's why John tells us, fellowship with the light, in whom there's no darkness at all. So even though I know, as we've sang this morning, as we hear from the scriptures, we'll look at that a bit more, as John also tells us, even though I know that when I do sin, my sins are forgiven because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So for us, our sinning as Christians should be a big deal. Should be a big deal. And we should not allow ourselves to be nonchalant, careless, lackadaisical about falling into sin. That's what we have to grasp as Christians, is that even as our ongoing sin is forgiven, that does not in any way diminish our calling to holiness. Being forgiven and yet called to holiness are not at all scripturally incompatible. That's the truth that we're presented. I put that in the sermon notes. Two truths that we have to grasp and apply. Don't sin, and if we do, we are forgiven as Christians. Forgiveness and holiness are as intimately part of our salvation as justification and sanctification are part and parcel of our redemption in Jesus Christ. Now, we confess that intimate, inevitable tie between our justification and our sanctification just a bit earlier when we looked at the Heidelberg Catechism, question answer number 86. Now, since we are redeemed only by Christ and his blood, why must we do good works? Well, why must we do good works? Why are they inevitable? Because we who are redeemed are also being, that is, redeemed means we're justified in the sight of God. We're not under condemnation anymore because of Christ's work, because of his righteousness, because of his sacrifice. Our sins are covered in the sight of God by his blood. So we're justified. But if we're justified, redeemed, we're also being renewed by his Spirit, as we confess, that with our whole life, we show ourselves thankful to God. That's what we confess. With our whole life. In other words, there should never be any moment in your life where you think, oh, it's okay to sin. That's not thinking about thankfulness to God for so great a redemption. That's carelessness. That's lackadaisicalness about sinning. We're redeemed that we might be zealous for good works. That's what we read from Titus. So good works are the stark contrast to sinning. And John tells us that we are redeemed from the darkness to live in fellowship with the light. He says, you may not be sinning. That's the right attitude we should have based on the scriptures. We may not be sinning. Now, as John's writing this letter, remember, it's late in the first century A.D., and truth about the Christian life and its witness to Christ Jesus, that's all been available. It's being circulated by the letters that are written by the Apostle Paul and Peter and James and John in his own gospel. And John in this letter has already pointed out that sinlessness, that is perfect holiness, you know, if a Christian claims that he has no sin as he's living his life, we have no sin. If he said that, that'd be a lie. Because perfect sinlessness is impossible in this present life. And yet the call is, the exhortation is, what we're called to think and do is, you may not sin. Those two things are not incompatible. And especially the Apostle Paul has made it very clear that we Christians, you know, what we do in this life, how we live, however holy we might strive to be, our acts of holiness, the obedience, as faulty as it is, that we give to God, none of that, nothing that we do in this life can make us righteous before God. Nothing. Galatians 2:16, listen. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ Jesus and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, in other words, whatever you do that you think is in accordance with God's law, none of that, by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. There's a basic biblical truth. And so our call for holiness, that holiness as we strive for it, as we demonstrate a measure of holiness in our lives, it's never sufficient to meet God's standard of holiness and righteousness. Never. Only Christ Jesus, being God himself, and in his human nature having no sin, only he met that standard. Only he. So it is only by faith in him, in Jesus Christ, the perfectly righteous, that we sinners can be justified by God. Declared righteous by God. It's always on the basis of Christ's perfect righteousness. And we should all know, as we are students of church history, that justification by faith alone in Christ alone, that was highlighted by the 16th century Reformation of the church. Back in the day of Christ's apostle John, the Jews, amongst others, attacked the doctrine of justification by faith alone. Because they claimed that it did what? It encouraged sinning. Now, many since then, including in our day, have attacked the same doctrine that justification is by faith alone and Christ alone. And here's the logic, really, of that attack. If Christ Jesus' work is the only work that counts for me to be right with God, if that's the only thing that has merit, the only thing that counts is what Christ did, then how I live my life has no bearing on my being right with God. And therefore, it doesn't matter how I live. That's muddled thinking. That's not scriptural thinking. That kind of thinking is totally contrary to John's exhortation to us Christians and many others like it. The same exhortation to holiness comes throughout Scripture. We'll mention some. John says, you have fellowship with God who is light, and the fellowship yields a walk in the light, a walk of holiness. So John writes these things to tell us you may not sin. So the fact that your justification is by faith alone in Christ Jesus alone, the truth that his shed, once for all shed blood covers all of your sins, even the ones you do now as a Christian, that truth, justification in Christ alone by faith alone, that truth does not in any way diminish the other biblical truth that how you live your life does matter to God. Holiness is your calling as a Christian. Because for the sake of your holiness, for the sake of your living to his glory, for the sake of a thankful life, he has redeemed you. He has redeemed you. He has justified you, restored you to fellowship with him who is light, in whom there's no darkness at all. Therefore, because that's why God saves you, chose you before the foundation to be holy before him, Ephesians 1 tells us. Therefore, as John tells me, what should be my attitude toward how I live my life? That's what we have to grasp. This is how we're to live our lives. This is how we should think. This should be our attitude. I may not be sinning. That's our calling. That's how we should think. Again, the idea that sin is no big deal because I'm forgiven is just totally unbiblical. There's no room for that in the scriptures anywhere. But, and here's the thing that we also have to grasp, the other thing that's also true from Scripture. John has already said that if we claim fellowship with God and say we have no sin, that's a lie. So perfect holiness for us Christians is impossible in this present life. It's impossible. So now if you combine those two truths, that perfect holiness is impossible in this present life, and that our justification is by Christ Jesus' work alone, well, then it's not hard to see how this muddled attitude that makes sinning no big deal for Christians, how that arises. I mean, here's how this muddled non-scriptural thinking has been put in a Greek commentary that I frequently use. Number one, this is how this muddled thinking comes about. If we can never in this life be done with sin. There's one truth, right? We can never be done with sin in this life. Then why strive after holiness? That's the question, right? Based on human logic, we'd say, well, I mean, I can never get there, so why bother striving for it? And number two, this also ties in with what John teaches us in our text. If escape from the consequences of my sin as a Christian is so easy, I just plead with God for forgiveness, well, why should I be so careful to not be sinning? I mean, if all it takes is say, oh God, forgive me this sin and we're good to go, then what difference does it make if I sin? I mean, why should I care? It's just say, forgive me, and God forgives us. Again, that's muddled thinking. It's muddled thinking. It's not the thinking of a gospel-renewed mind to think that way. To put that muddled thinking in yet another way, since perfect holiness is impossible in this life, I'm going to be content with the reality of my sinning. You get that? I mean, if I can't be perfectly sinless, then I'm just content with the reality that I will be sinning. Terrible attitude. Muddled thinking. It's not allowed us as we hold to the scriptures. What John is saying to us here in our text, He writes all these things about God being light, or our fellowship being with the light, as Colossians says, we've been transferred out of the domain of darkness into the realm of the Son who is light. When John says, after telling us all these things, you may not sin, that's what we have to listen to. Never mind that all your sins are forgiven. You may not sin. That's how we should think. The truth that the blood of Jesus Christ covers our every sin does not put aside the truth, you may not sin. John doesn't say, I write these things so you may sin less often, or that your sinning be spaced further apart. Not what he says. And remember what he says, this is God speaking through his apostle, God, the holy God who hates sin, who's redeemed us from the power of sin, who's redeemed us so we don't be zealous for good works, which is not sinning. John says, you may not sin. You may not be sinning. Sin is abhorrent to God. And it should be abhorrent to each of us who profess Jesus Christ. To each of us, sin should be abhorrent as we have been brought into fellowship with God, who is light, in whom there is no darkness at all. So again, any idea that we might have, or we hear this from people who are professing Christians, that our sinning as Christians is just no big deal, and that we shouldn't be afraid of falling into sin because after all, we can just be forgiven it, that's just totally unbiblical. It's unchristian. It's a sinful attitude. If any of us hold to that, we should repent of that. And just to make clear that holiness, that is set apartness to God, living to his glory, thankful living, walking in the light, is not just an optional accessory to the Christian life. You know, whenever we think it's appropriate, well, maybe not this sin, I'll be careful of that, but those other ones, it's okay. Well, just consider these other scriptures. I'm not going to read them all, but you can meditate, look them up, meditate on them sometime later. Romans 6, 12 to 14. Romans 8, 12 to 13. 1 Corinthians 15, 34. Titus 2, 11 to 12. 1 Peter 1, 13 to 16. And there's others. Clearly call us Christians to holiness. That's the life to which we are called. So again, any attitude that even remotely thinks that sinning is no big deal for us Christians is just totally incompatible with faith in Jesus Christ. Let me just read one passage that also fits in with what John is saying here from Hebrews about the pursuit of holiness. It's from Hebrews 12:14. Pursue, it tells us, or strive is another word that can be used. Pursue, strive after peace with everyone, and holiness. Pursue holiness. Strive after holiness. Without it, no one will see the Lord. And in that text, pursue, strive, it's an active present tense, meaning there's never to be a moment when you let yourself think holiness is no big deal. I don't have to strive for it because it's impossible for me to get there anyway. And I'm forgiven for my sins. So hear this. The goal of perfect holiness, it should be our goal. As we realize that perfect holiness is impossible in this present life, but the pursuit of perfect holiness is not impossible. The pursuit is not impossible. That's why we're called to do it. Because God enables us, God empowers us, God strengthens us to pursue holiness. Because our fellowship is with him, in whom there's no darkness at all, no sin at all. So when John writes, you may not sin, he's telling us that the Christian life, and lots of other scriptures say the same thing, the Christian life is one that does require active effort to not sin, to be self-consciously walking in the light, discerningly so. And we have all kinds of scriptures that say the same thing. Put off the old man, Paul writes in Ephesians. Fight the good fight, says Timothy. Paul writes to Timothy. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. And be sorrowful for our sins. And always turning away from actions that are of the darkness towards actions that are in conformity with being of light, being in fellowship with the light. That's holiness. You know, Augustine, and you may have read some of Augustine, I hope you have, he was a church father for 5th century AD, and the reformers had a high respect for him because he was very scriptural in his thinking. He says this about John's words, and again, John's words, John doesn't write to discourage us from the pursuit of impossible holiness. Actually, he encourages us to it, right? Don't sin. And John doesn't write to embolden us to sin based on the fact that we have an advocate with the Father. That's not what John is doing. Well, here's what Augustine said about John's words in verse 1. He says, lest perchance, he's talking to John, he should seem to have given license to sin, and man should now say to themselves, let us sin, let us do securely what we will. Christ cleanses us. He's faithful and righteous. He cleanses us from all iniquity. Augustine says that's how people might interpret what John is saying here. But lest we think that way, here's how it really is, Augustine tells us. John takes from you evil security. In other words, thinking, ah, oh, it's no big deal if I sin. That's an evil security. Because your sins are forgiven. That's an evil way to think. He takes away from you evil security and implants useful fear. You may not sin. He says it's an evil wish of yours to be secure in your sins. He says be anxious for, this is what he says here. This is really good. For he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins if we are always displeasing to ourselves and being changed until we are perfected. You get that? Again, the attitude that, oh, it's no big deal if I sin. No. Augustine wouldn't agree with that at all. When we sin, we should be sorrowful. And as we plead for forgiveness, our desire should be to not sin. Because that's what we're called to. Don't sin. Because you have fellowship with the light. You've been redeemed from the power of sin. So again, when John writes of God being light and our fellowship being with the light so that we may not sin, that's the message. You know, you hear that message. John's apostle, this is God's word to us. You may not sin. That's the sanctifying message. The Holy Spirit uses that message to sanctify us, to take our knowledge of the faith that we have from all the scriptures so that we think rightly. And are become ever more careful to not sin. That should be our goal. So our prayer should be, Lord, strengthen me so that I do not sin in any aspect of my life. But may all I do demonstrate that I live unto you. I mean, isn't that what we confess? That God works in us when we confess belonging to Jesus Christ as our only comfort? The Holy Spirit makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to what? To live unto Him. That's the life of thankfulness. That's the life of carefully not sinning. Why? Because the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:1. He's brought me into the realm of light and life. And so over against all the muddled thinking that comes from wrong understanding of what John is saying or twisting what he's saying or reading into what he's saying, all the muddled things that says I should not be pursuing holiness, I should not be striving to do good works, over against that, even though I know my righteousness is in Jesus Christ alone, and it's by faith alone in Jesus Christ that I'm justified, I know all my sins are forgiven based on the shed blood of Christ, non-muddled thinking says, yet I still am called to pursue holiness. That's what the scriptures clearly teach me throughout. And John makes it very plain here, you may not sin. Now, again, the idea that trusting in Christ for your righteousness that somehow makes you careless and profane in how you live? Because his righteousness is imputed to you, his shed blood covers all your sins. Well, we confess, no, that's not the case. Question and answer 64 of the Heidelberg. Does not this doctrine of righteousness in Christ alone make men careless and profane? No. For it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness, the fruit of striving after holiness, apart from which no one will see the Lord. Again, the purpose of Christ's cross, beloved, was to deliver us from the power of sin, so we might be enabled to live the holy lives that are pleasing to God, for which he chose us to be in Christ from before the beginning. So John writes these things to us so that what? You may not sin. That's a truth we need to grab. That should be the attitude toward our Christian lives. I may not sin. That's got to be our goal. And that pursuit requires diligence. It requires that we avail ourselves of the help available to us from the throne of grace and mercy to be strengthened by Christ onto holiness. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The all things is the thankful life. It doesn't matter how strong the temptation in your life might be. It doesn't matter the suffering you're going through. It doesn't matter the persecution you're suffering. It doesn't matter the circumstances of your life. You may not sin. That should be what we always think before we respond in a sinful manner to whatever the circumstance might be, whatever the temptation might be, whatever we're going through. Jesus said, Matthew 26, watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. So John, in line with all the scriptures, teaches us these two very important truths concerning our Christian lives. First, and this is what we've been looking at, you may not be sinning. That's how you should think. That's how you should live your life. That's the goal, holiness, sinning not. That is to be our sincere, diligent, devoted pursuit in our Christian lives because we have fellowship with the light. We've been redeemed from the power of sin. But here's the other vital truth that we so need for our comfort. I am not to be sinning, but if I do sin, I have this blessed and comforting assurance that my sin is covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, my great high priest. So again, we must hold these truths together and apply them to our Christian life. I am not to be sinning, but yet, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father in heaven, Jesus Christ the righteous. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. So, what this is telling us here, a couple of things. Although Christ Jesus' sacrifice of himself is so infinitely, unmeasurably worthy that it was sufficient to cover the sins of every single sinner in all of mankind's history, yet the exalted Christ Jesus is not the advocate for every sinner in all of mankind. Notice John says, we have an advocate with the Father. We, Christians, for us, Christ Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. See, all those who come to Jesus in repentant faith, those who are united to him as confessing members of his body, the church, for them, he is the propitiation for their sins. That's why we call people, come to Jesus, so he may be for you the propitiation for your sins. Propitiation, the word that means that for his own, he turned God's wrath aside from us who deserve it onto himself and suffered God's wrath in your and my place, we who trust in him. We're restored to God's favor. Our sins are forgiven. We're reconciled to God. We have fellowship with God who is light through Jesus Christ by faith. See, the ascended to the majesty on high, that's how Hebrews 1 puts it, after he dealt with our sins, he ascended to the majesty on high. That's where John is speaking of him. That's where Jesus is as John is writing this letter. He's on high. He's our high priest. He's interceding in our behalf. And Jesus called the righteous one in Acts 3 and Acts 14 and other places. So he's there as our attorney, so to say. That's what an advocate is. He's our advocate who appeals to his Father in heaven, our Father in heaven. He appeals on the basis of his blood shed once for all, which is perfectly righteous for him to appeal on that ground because the righteous God sent him into the world to do this. This was a righteous deed on the part of Jesus to come suffer the cross. And so it's the righteous one who appeals to God, the Father. And God says, yes, I will forgive their sins because in righteousness, by my desire as the Father, you, my Son, have suffered the cross so that I might cover the sins of all those whom I gave you to save. And God is faithful to forgive because God is faithful to his covenant promise to be God to you and to your people, your descendants after you. That's the covenant promise to Abraham. And that promise is fulfilled through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's why the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ that we talk about when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So God is faithful to cover your and my sins because that's the intent for which he sent Christ into the world, that his blood would cover our sins, redeem us from the power of sin so that we could live holy lives before him. So these are the two great truths that we Christians need to hold on to and grasp and apply to our lives. We are not to sin. That's our calling. So sin should be a big deal to us. We should do everything we can in dependence of God's grace and Christ's strength to not sin. But if we do sin, and again, perfect righteousness, perfect holiness is impossible in this life for us. We will have it at the resurrection, but not till then. So the other great comforting truth is that if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And through him, our sins, ongoing sins, are still covered by the blood of Christ. So we are forgiven. We remain not under condemnation. It's the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. But let our minds not be muddled. Our calling as God's holy church, redeemed from the power of sin in Christ Jesus, is to be not sinning. So I read the law this morning. That's what that means. Do it this way. Holiness, again, is not an accessory to our Christian lives. Let's remember that. It's not an accessory. It's characteristic of. So let's be very careful to be following the way of truth and righteousness and holiness for which God has saved us. And let us, as the imperfectly holy sinners we are yet, live in the assurance of our Christian faith that when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father in heaven, forgiven and called to holiness. Two truths to hang on to and apply to your lives. Amen.